Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 238, stanzas 2 and 3. Heathen lands and hostile peoples, soon shall come the Lord to know. Nations born again in Zion shall the Lord's salvation show. God Almighty shall on Zion strength bestow. The 2 and 3 of Psalter 238.
Portion of God's Word that we wish to read in this afternoon hour, you can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, there of the second chapter, beginning by verse 12 and unto the end. Acts 2, beginning by verse 12 to the end, but first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 2, beginning by verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will so show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God had raised up, having loosened the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he had shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added about unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
We hope to remember in prayer Justin and Amber Brunn, whose child came home from the hospital this past week, Garrett and Lisa Bredeweg, who are in Edmonton. Their child is in some danger and needs to be taken as soon as possible and receive a double surgery. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou remember that child? For that life, that little life that is in thy hands, and thou who hast created it, thou art able also to help in all these circumstances. Oh, that thou may remember these parents in all the anxious days that are upon them, that thou may be on their right and on their left hand in thy mercy. Oh, that thou may look upon that child, that thou would protect it in the womb and out of the womb, when it will be, humanly speaking, in the hands of the doctors, and when they must do surgery to that tiny, tiny little heart. O Lord, that thou may guide them, that thou may give them skill, that thou may give them wisdom, and that thou may bless the means that are used for the deliverance of this child. And thou hast given gladness in the heart of other parents. When they may bring their child home once again, wilt thou humble them before thee? Wilt thou prick their heart? Oh, we have heard of it in these moments of hearts that have been pricked. Oh, that wilt thou give that to each and every one of us? They were hearts that did hear the prophecies and the fulfillments. Those things which have been told of old, and the things which thou didst bring to pass, in the midst of this world in their own time, all in the operation of thy own hands and in thy own wisdom. And thou didst give them to hear of their own sin, and thou didst bring it in the heart, as so that they did cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" O Lord, thou art able to do it also this day unto us and unto our children, for a pricked heart, that is a converted heart, that is a new heart, that is a convinced heart, a heart that is convinced, that is convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And when it cries out, then it shall also be answered, it shall be heard. That thou may give it also to those who do cry out in the midst of us, that they may hear from thee, that they may know that thou hearest them, and that thou may give them an answer from on high, an answer of favor in all of that which they do fear. Lord, that thou who art God alone, and who dost send thy Spirit as thou sittest at the right hand of thy Father, thou who hast exalted on the right hand of power, and did shed forth those things that they did see and hear, that thou may also shed forth those things in our days, that we with our children may see it, and that we may hear it, and not cloven tongues of fire in an outward way, but may it be in an inward way, that thou may give us the heart of the matter, to live, to dwell, and to burn within us. Wilt thou forgive and take away all of our many, many sins? Do wash us and cleanse us in that precious blood of thy dear and only begotten Son, who was by wicked hands crucified and slain in thy determinate counsel. O Lord, that payment and may be applied to us and unto our dear children. Then with that blood we may be washed, and we may be cleansed, and we may be forgiven, and we may be received by thee, and we may be clothed with white robes of thy righteousness. Oh, do it for thy name's sake, and give us to feel it, and give us to know it, and give us to experience it, both young and old. Do look upon us as nations in this world. Thou knowest all that takes place. First disease, and now riots, oh Lord. What is this world full of? Oh, that thou may give us understanding hearts as people, as nations, to turn again unto thee, the true and the living God. When we turn everything so upside down, Lord, that sin would not have dominion over us, but that thou would subdue it without and within, and turn us again to thy law and to thy testimonies, and give to our rulers wisdom in all the decisions that they must make from day to day, when things once again they are opening up in the midst of the communities amongst whom we may dwell. Lord, then we ask of thee that thou wouldst watch over us, that thou wouldst lift thy heavy hand from off of us. Lord, we do not deserve it, for we have sinned against thee as nations and as peoples, as congregations, as families, as individuals. Oh, give us to look and to search within ourselves, that we might know what we must do, that we may be given to do as we have just heard out of thy word, that we may repent. Oh, that we may turn again, that we may draw nigh in true confession of all our sin, and that we also may be baptized in the name of thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, give thy word a place among us, amongst the nations wherein we dwell, amongst the nations of this world. Could it please thee to look upon young and old, those that are in the nursing home, watch over them, O Lord, as thou hast thus far watched over us and protected us. Wilt thou grant them also a visit from above, when then it is not possible to receive so many visitors in this world, but oh, that thou may visit them, then there is company. Then there is a visitor that is able to speak unto their very soul and to give them to experience that there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. O Lord, that thou may remember the children when they are at home, and the parents under all these circumstances do give strength and patience and courage and help from above, and the teachers in all their manifold labors give wisdom, help, O Lord, in all the circumstances, and bless their labors also. Do remember the mission fields in a special way, our own. Thy servant there, thou knowest his labors, O, that thou may watch over and protect them all together, that thou may give them also to feel thy presence, thy nearness, in all that they do and in all that they must experience in that place, and that thou may bless the labors to Jew and Gentile, that thou wouldst go forth with thy word, as thou didst in the days of old, when 3,000 persons were in with one sermon, they were converted unto thee, O thou, a most high God, a most powerful God, thou who hast all the power in thy own hands, thou who speakest and it is done, and thou who commandest and it stands firm. Oh, couldst thou be pleased to do it upon the mission fields and also in our own hearts as established congregations? Oh, give us once again that great revival that thou hast worked in those days, and come again, Lord, when we have departed so far from thee, when we are so slothful, or when we do deserve nothing but to be left to ourselves, and that thou wouldst take thy candlestick out of our midst, but wilt thou take reasons out of thyself to bless thy word in thy mercy, also in this afternoon hour. And wilt thou be in the midst of us, in thy house and in our homes and wherever that we may be. And wilt thou give thy word a place in our heart. And wilt thou give us strength and wisdom and clarity, and that thy spirit that may give freedom in the bringing of thy word and in the receiving of thy word into our hearts, and that we may be given to attend unto the things that thou hast spoken in thy word. Wilt thou help us then in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 49, stanzas 1 and 3. The ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. All kindreds of the earth shall own and worship him as God alone. Psalter 49, stanzas 1 and 3. Thank you. beloved congregation. Pentecost, it was a feast of the Old Testament. That was a commemoration of the giving of the law of God upon Mount Sinai. That feast that was taking place according to the time that that law was given, that is 7 weeks, 49 or 50 days, Pentecost, after the celebration of the Passover. When did the Lord Jesus die? Say that was on Good Friday. That is right, that was the time we can read, children, of the commemoration. It was the preparation for the Passover. That was on Good Friday. And the following day, that was Saturday, that was their Sunday. And then on the Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and then he has arisen from the dead. It was 7 weeks after this, that is 49, 50 days, Pentecost, that the Spirit of the Lord that was poured out from on high. Thus it corresponded to the time of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Say, what is now the connection between these two things? Well, a law. You know, when we will establish some kind of an entity, if we would make young people a business, and you would say you're going to make a partnership, then you're going to have certain laws. When you institute that business, you're going to say these are the laws that we are going to run that business by. That is the establishment of that business. When the Lord, he has created the world, then he has established certain laws. That is the laws of the universe. And all of this would be governed by those laws. When he created the animals, then he says those animals, they will be governed by certain laws, the laws of instinct. So when there is the creation of that entity, then with this always goes the putting forth of laws that are going to govern that entity. Thus those laws that were given on Mount Sinai, they have accompanied the establishment of something. What was that? Well, that was the establishment of the theocracy. The children of Israel, they were set aside as the people of the Lord, the Lord's nation now, and they will be governed by those laws, that is the moral law, the civil laws, and those ceremonial laws. How long did those laws last? Say they lasted until the time of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the civil laws and the ceremonial laws, they have come to an end. That is right. And then, what then? That is now what we hope to consider in this afternoon hour. The words of our text can be found in the portion that was read to you, Acts 2, the 12th verse, the last few words. Acts 2, verse 12, the last part. What meaneth this? So far, the words of our text. What meaneth this? This is a devout question. First, We want to consider the provoking of this question, what brought it forth. Second, the answer to this question. A devout question, first the provoking, and second the answer to this question. What meaneth this? That is a question that also our children, young people especially, they will begin to ask. You often ask that, children, what does that mean, mother? What does that mean, father? What kind of things do you ask about? You ask about all the things that are in this world, that is good, and you are inquisitive, but do you ever ask that question about the things that are written in the Word of God? That you say, I have read this in the Word of God, I have read that in the Word of God, and I do not know what that means. Thus, that is a good question. The question that says, what meaneth this? That is the question that is also asked here. We've heard about Christmas, that has a meaning. We heard about Good Friday, the meaning of Good Friday, and of Easter, and of the Ascension, and now Pentecost. Thus, what is the meaning of Pentecost? Do we ever ask that question? What meaneth this? Who is it that is asking that question here? We read that they are devout men, and they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Are you a devout man? Are you a devout boy, girl, young person? It is not these men that say we are devout people. No, that is the Lord who writes it in His Word, that these were devout men. Does the Lord also have to say this about us? There is a devout boy. There is a devout girl. What does it mean to be devout? That word actually means to be careful, to be cautious. That is in the reverence of God. That is that a man, he is careful with what? You know a devout young person in the Bible? That devout young person, his name was Joseph. He was careful. He was cautious with what? He was cautious with sin. Are we also a devout man? These, they were called by the Lord devout men. They're religious Jews, careful about following the precepts of the Lord. The Bible says, devout men dwelling at Jerusalem out of every nation under heaven. Why are they there? Well, probably they are there for the commemoration of Pentecost. Pentecost, they are devout, they are careful men. And those men, they have an interest in the things of the Lord, in the institutions of the Lord. They have a desire that those institutions be upheld. And though that they have to come from very far away, then they are ready to come. This expression that is from every nation under heaven, that is what we call a hyperbole, that is not something we take literally, but it is something that we take as an expression. So they are coming from many, many different places all over that then known world. But there is an allusion here, actually, to the Tower of Babel. You read about the Tower of Babel. Know what that story is, right, children? Tower of Babel wanted to build a high tower. And the Lord said they may not do that. Why not? Because they had to spread out throughout the whole world. They didn't want to do that. It was in disobedience. They're going to stay all together. The Lord says no. And so they are separated. We read in the Bible that they are scattered. They are scattered over all the world at that time of that Tower of Babel. And how does the Lord scatter them? Well, He confused their tongues. They cannot understand one another. There was a curse. Why was that such a curse? Well, you see, because they have to go about their work and they cannot understand each other anymore. They cannot cooperate with one another anymore. That is true. And that work that is from the Lord, the practical things of every day that we have to do, 6 days that we must labor, and those labors, they became impossible. Is that now the worst part? You know what we read before that happens already in Genesis 4. Then you read about in the beginning of the world, and we know in the beginning of the world, then there was only two persons. And then the Lord gave Adam and Eve children, and then more generations have followed. And that world that has multiplied, and then in Genesis 4, then you read that men began to call upon the name of the Lord. What does that mean? That doesn't mean that they did not pray, children, before that time. No, but then there came a time that there were sufficient people in the world, that it was not just families anymore in the world, but there were people so that they began to come together, so that there began to be a public worship service. Are you glad? Do you also like to call upon the name of the Lord together as a congregation? We feel that. There is a desire that we come together that is different than when we have to stay home, when we have to do that just with our own family. But what now effect did the Tower of Babel have upon the worship services? So that was not only that men, they could not work together, but all that people, they also could not worship together. Indeed, they could not understand it anymore. That was the greatest curse. Because that language that the Lord, and some believe that language, that original language, was actually the Hebrew language. We don't know those things. But that language, the language that the Lord had given unto His own people, that language was no longer understood by those who have lost the understanding of it. And so that worship of the Lord that was disrupted in those days of that Tower of Babel. And the Lord was not only in those days, but we think about the future time then, how that through all those years the Lord, He is limiting. So He has taken His word and He has limited it to the Hebrew people, the Hebrew nation, one nation, instead of everyone anymore, only one people. And He will give His prophecies unto that people, and He will leave everyone else on the wayside. And if there will be any understanding of it, there will be much work necessary, that there will be a translation of that Hebrew that all the other parts of the world, they can begin to understand. Oh, for how long a time? And for how many people in the world, through the thousands of years that have not followed that tower of Babel, have so many people been excluded from that word of God that is now the consequence of sin? Do we ever now feel the consequence of sin? We read here in our text, what meaneth this? What does that refer to? Well, we have heard something, how that the apostles, in the place that the apostles are, they are gathered and there is a great miracle. Sound of a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues of fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that does not remain quiet, but they begin to speak about it. They begin to tell one another. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They are confounded. They are amazed. It says they marveled. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein that we are born? They are amazed. And they were all amazed and were in doubt. What does that mean? That is not the same as our word to doubt. But it means that they are at a loss. They do not know how to explain what is going on. They are perplexed. It is a wonderful mystery. They are devout men. They hear in their own tongues the wonderful word of God. Before, if they did not understand that tongue, then they needed to have an interpreter. Someone had to translate it for them. But suddenly, those things they are hearing, they are coming to them in such a plain way, in the very language, in the very dialect that they know, they understand, they can speak. That is a wonder to them. That is a desire that lives within their heart, that they may understand what those things they are. What meaneth this? Thus, these men, they feel something. They say this is special. They say this has a meaning, a special meaning. It is a greater meaning, is a wider meaning than what we just see. It means more. But that word mean, when it says meaneth this, actually is not exactly our word mean. The word meaneth here in the original language is not exactly the same thing as it is in our English language. Doesn't just mean to mean something, boys and girls. So you say to your mother, what does this mean? What does that mean? And you want with your mind to understand. You want a definition of something. You want to know how it works, for example. But this word, that means more. There is more in this word than that. In this word, there is also something about a will. A will. So not just a meaning, but a will. Something about a desire. So they are asking, not only what does this mean, but what does God mean by it? What is the Lord's will by this? What is the Lord doing What is the Lord going to do? All of these things, they are contained in that little word, meaneth. That is a question of these devout men. There are other men there. We read of them too. They don't have this question. No, they are mockers. These men, they say, are full of new wine. But these devout men, they do not mock. Oh, they are inquiring. They want to know the meaning of the Lord. What is He doing? What is He saying? Do we do the same? Or do we just get used to everything? In all the things that are going round about us, then do we say also, what meaneth this? What is the Lord doing by the things that are happening in the midst of us as nations in this world? What does the Lord mean by it? What does the Lord intend by? What is His will? What is His desire? We do not always know, do we? Cannot always say, well, this means that. You cannot always just point it out. Because Job's friends did that too. They said, this affliction, that means that you are a wicked man. No, that was not true. And yet, very often it is true, is it not? Because when the Lord comes with His judgments, then indeed, then we have to look in our own heart. Then we have to say to ourselves, what is that way that we are walking as a nation, as a people, as congregations, as families, as individuals? What does it mean? What meaneth this? That is a question that was provoked. It was provoked by this miracle. It was provoked by these signs, the cloven tongues. It was provoked especially by what? It was provoked especially by these tongues, this gift of tongues, that they began to speak every man in his own language. And now that question that was provoked by this, that also receives an answer. That is our second thought. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. So first he answers the mockers. He puts them to silence. He says, you may be quiet. And he proves it to them. He makes it very plain to them. He says, what you say, that makes no sense. Not even in a natural way, because we see that it is only the third hour of the day, and that is not the hour of the day, and that men are drunken. And then he goes on. Why? Because those men, those mockers, they do not deserve that they receive more than a rebuke. Now let them listen. Now let them listen, because the servants of the Lord, they are there especially now for those devout men, to give an explanation to the questions that are living in the heart of those devout men. And we will let the mockers listen. And if they will now receive instruction, then those mockers, they will be blessed. And so he begins to instruct them, takes them to the Word of God. That is a good place to be taken, is it not? Prophecy of Joel, long ago. He says, this is not new. This is written in the Word of God long ago what was going to happen. He begins to speak about the last days. That is what the prophecy of Joel speaks about, the last days. What are the last days? We are living in the last days. What are the last days? Well, the last days is the last dispensation that will be before the final one. That is the final one, of course, that is when the Lord Jesus will come from the clouds of heaven, and he will usher in that last dispensation, that glorious dispensation. Now, the last days are the dispensation that immediately precedes that, which extends from the time that he came the first time until the time he is going to come again. So from the first coming of Christ to the second coming of Christ, they are called in the Word of God the last days. And now he speaks about the ushering in of these last days. And he shows that this time that they are now in, this time of Pentecost, is the very beginning. It is now ushering in the last days, the prophecy that the prophet Joel, he has spoken about. And that is an ushering in 7 weeks. That is Pentecost. It was 7 weeks after what? Well, it was 7 weeks after the slaying of the Passover lamb. So just like the first, the national dispensation began 7 weeks after Pentecost, after the Passover, so this new dispensation that is going to be beginning, and when the day of Pentecost is fully come, it is now going to usher in, just like when Israel was established as a nation, now the Lord, he is going to establish, bring in another dispensation. And it begins, according to the prophecy of Joel, with the pouring out of that Spirit of the Lord and with new laws. Say, does the Lord change the laws? Well, we know what happened. The old laws, they are done away. That is, the ceremonial law, that is done away. Not the moral law, that is an everlasting law. But the ceremonial laws and also the civil laws. Why? Because, he says, it is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel when the theocracy that the Lord has established at Sinai, when that theocracy is now coming to an end. What will be the great sign that that theocracy is coming to an end? That is the destruction of its capital. That is the destruction of Jerusalem. And so he speaks about the wide effusion of the Spirit of the Lord that will be upon your sons, it will be upon your daughters, your young men, your old men, your servants, your handmaidens. That is going to be the Spirit of the Lord is going to go forth in a measure that it has not gone forth before. And then he speaks also about that destruction of Jerusalem. He speaks about the wonders and the signs in heaven above and in the earth beneath. He speaks about blood and fire and vapor of smoke when Jerusalem that will go up in that smoke and that capital that will be destroyed, and that theocracy that will come to an end. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. That is all referring in the way of prophecy. It refers to the change in that dispensation. But then there is another dispensation. We won't speak of that now. But the final dispensation, when that will be ushered in, the Lord Jesus, he speaks about that also. He speaks about those two together often. You read that in the Gospels. Then he speaks about the destruction of Jerusalem, and at the same time he goes forward to the end of the next dispensation. So, and, he says, and it came to pass, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What is it? It is the answer. It is now the answer to the question of those devout men. What did they say? They said, what meaneth this? Or he says, you now hear the word of God. You hear that word in all different languages, each of you in his own tongue. He says, the Lord, he is ushering in a new time, a new dispensation, a new era. Long ago it was prophesied. The Lord was going to take away the limits of his word only to one nation, only to the Jewish nation. And the Lord, he is going to bring that also unto the Gentiles. He is going to bring that into all the nations of the world. He says, and whosoever, not just the Jewish people, no, but whosoever, also the Gentiles and the heathens of this world. And that is now signified in the speaking with these tongues in the language of each and every one. So he says, as it were, that snare, that curse that came in the time of the Tower of Babel, that is broken. The disciples, they were first commanded that they had to go not to the way of the Gentiles, no, they had to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But now he says it is different, because it was first preached unto Israel, but that nation, they have rejected their king, and that capital that will be destroyed, and now the Lord, he sends those disciples out into all the world, to preach the gospel to every creature, he says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. That is now the meaning. But what does it mean for us? Let us sing first. 200 stanzas 1 and 2. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. They that wilds inhabit shall their worship bring. Kings shall render tribute. Nations serve our King. 1 and 2 of Psalter 200. what meaneth this? Are there also those that ask this question in this day? What meaneth Pentecost? We have heard what Christmas means. Have we asked, what does Christmas mean for me? We have heard what Good Friday means, what Easter means, what Ascension means. Have we asked also what these mean for us? And do we ask also, what does now Pentecost, what does that mean for me? Peter, he says, it meaneth this, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean to us? The meaning of Pentecost. Maybe it means nothing to us. Maybe we have never and do never think about it. You say, to be saved? I don't need to be saved. What do I need to be saved from? Because you do not need to be saved, then you do not call upon Him. You say, it might just as well have been good that had been left over for the Hebrews, that it had never been given unto us. Then we have an outward form of religion, but we have no religion. Then we have no religion in our heart. And if it remains this way, then Pentecost is going to have more meaning for us than we realize. Because Pentecost, that means that language that word that has come unto every language, also the English language, we are not Jews, has come in the English language, and when it has come in the English language, then it has come to us. And when we will say that means nothing to me, what shall that be in eternity? You have said, to say at that time, I have heard it in my own language. I've heard it and received it in my own mind with my own understanding, and I did not need to be saved. You say, I pray every day, get up in the morning, meal time, I go to bed at night, I pray. What do you want me to do more? Peter does not say that those that pray every day shall be saved. He does not say that. He says, those that call, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Is there not a great difference? There are those that are not careless among us. And maybe would not even say that. I pray every day. Because you come up from your knees when you have bent them and you say, there was no prayer. I have to go back on my knees because I had the whole world in my heart. You do not leave it off, but you feel something. Say, I am cold, I am dead, I am careless, I am worldly. And yet in your heart there is sometimes a certain jealousy of whom? Of that blessed people. It's difficult to know what to make of you when you have such things living in your heart. Because the clearest marks of grace, then they are actually still missing. And there are some of you that they will continue for a little while, and it will be like a candle, and it will just be snuffed out, just like the morning cloud. Then it will be gone. Then you will go your way again into this world. It was something that was so temporary. There will be others. You will grow. You will grow in the estimation of those that are in the church. You will make expressions in order that other people will say of you, what is going on in that boy? What is going on in that man? Secretly, you will grow also in your own estimation. You will even, maybe for many years, be respected in the church, maybe even an office in the church. And end in that eternal perdition. And there are others, their heart that says, that is me. It drops. Or you say, that is just my fear. That I am like Saul. A Saul, King Saul. Oh, it seems so good. In his youth, when he is young, the beginning, that kingdom seems so humble. That man, he ended with the devil. That is then what is living in your heart. You say, my religion, that is vain. It is carnal. It does not actually exist. And yet, sometimes you go to that place where you are all alone. Sometimes you go into your secret chamber. And sometimes your heart that goes out unto the Lord. And you call. You call upon the name of the Lord. You say, O Lord, remember me. O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servant. What meaneth this? What meaneth this for you? Do you know what Peter says here? Do you know what this means for you? He says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, it has been so long. It is not months. It is years that I've tried to pray unto the Lord, and there is nothing. There is nothing. I will be as those who come and they go from the place of the holy and are buried with the wicked. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord
he shall be saved.
Does it take away from the promise of the Lord that it takes a long time? Does the Lord say in his promise, I will do it in a month? I will do it in a year. Or does the Lord leave himself free in that? If it pleases the Lord to wait a little longer to bring you, to humble you a little more, when he is looking out for the honor and for the glory of his own name, is that not good? Is that not good? If it will please the Lord to wait a little longer, that he may strip you a little more, that he may strip you from all that will not profit you, is that not good? But on this Pentecost day, the Lord says to such, he says, go on. Go on. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a promise that awaits you. It is like the gold in that vein. Can't get at it so easy. It's hard work. It takes time. You know what the Lord says in his word? It says, he that overcometh, I will give him to eat of the hidden manna. Or there is a promise to be gotten, and that promise that is so very sure. It is a promise that is sworn by him who cannot lie. What meaneth this? Oh, it speaks about the application of everything, that whole season that lies behind us. Christmas. Or maybe you have said it in your heart. Could I just experience what that is for that babe to be born in the stable of my heart? Think about that, children. And there are others of God's people who are not strangers of that. And they have listened. What does that mean? Now, Good Friday, Easter, the justification, the ascension, the reconciliation. And then in their heart, oh, they have said, oh, could I now but know something, the smallest part of what this means, what is the will of the Lord in it, Pentecost. That speaks of the application of all that has now gone before. And it is the hope, it is the expectation of the poor, of the afflicted, of the blind, of the lame, of the deaf, and of the dumb, those that do not have power. Oh, then we have read, we have heard of power. That's Pentecost. That is now the hope and the expectation. What does it mean? It means that those who are on the outside, they are now brought on the inside. Though they be not like one to one of his handmaidens, though they be not one of, you say, well, that people, are their roots here also? Oh, they are willing to leave everything. to leave all behind. Oh, she was a picture already in the Old Testament time of what the Lord would do in the New Testament time. See them from time to time throughout that Old Testament Pentecost. What meaneth this? It is the declaration of the will of the Lord. It is the declaration of the good pleasure of the Lord, of the desire of the Lord. What is that desire? Say, only the Lord was as willing as I am. We have to learn the opposite. Because the Lord, He declares His good pleasure. And what is that good pleasure? What is that will? That is, He says, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Take with you words, the Lord says. Turn unto the Lord. Oh, let the guilty come. Let the guilty come just like the prodigal. Oh, then he came with a confession. Oh, let them come in such a way, whosoever, saying, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Whosoever. Oh, when he will come, I will give him a kiss. When he will so come, I will embrace him. I will put a ring on his hand. I will put shoes on his feet. And I will call for that fatted calf. Oh, let them come so with their guilt. Let them come with all the pollution. Let them come like that Syrian leper. Let them leave all their gifts at home because I don't want them. And because they are nothing but a denial of my gift. Let them leave it all at home. Only let them come and say, oh Lord, I am a leper. I'm a leper. And let them humble themselves and go down and dip 7 times in that water. And they shall be clean. Pentecost. Pentecost. What meaneth this? All the obstacles, they are now taken out of the way. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of that water of life freely. This is what Pentecost mean. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, show it unto those in a special way who cannot be saved, who do not know how to be saved, who have no feet to go, who have no hands to take. Oh, but that thou may give it unto them. And those that mock, oh, let them hear, Lord, once. Let their heart break with that blessed portion that thou hast for thy true church. Wilt thou forgive our many sins? Give thy word a place where it has no place in us. Humble us under thy gifts also in this hour, all thy help. And wilt thou make it the meditation of our hearts in the week to come, that the calling may go out from those whose hearts are pricked. Keep us in all the labors of our hands, from all danger, accident, evil, and sin, all disease. Watch over our lives, prosper our work, and forgive all our iniquity for Jesus' sake. Amen. 72 stanzas 1 and 4. Lord, hear me when I pray, and answer me in grace. Oft as I hear thee say, come ye, and seek my face, my heart and lips their answer speak. Thy face, Jehovah, will I seek. 1 and 4 of 72. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.